dear church, it's so good to be here tonight, and it's always a joy to study the Psalms. I pray that as you and I are looking to the new year, as the Lord has granted to us convictions of how we can grow in grace and how he may lead us to serve him in this year, and I pray that the Lord will bring us deeper into his word this year. Such a treasure is this book of the Bible, the Psalms. And I hope that as we have gone through these last almost 5 years now in the book of Psalms, that you have found a great love for the Psalter and a great delight in knowing the Lord through the book of Psalms. We turn to Psalm 115 tonight, and of course we'll read all of Psalm 115 together. But we will examine tonight Psalm 115, verse 12, down to the conclusion of verse 18. The title of this evening's sermon is "The Lord Who Blesses." The Lord Who Blesses. Psalm 115. Dear friends, let us read God's word here. The word of God says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nation say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord." Dear ones, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we pray, please bless us, your church, this evening. As we study your word, as we come to Psalm 115, we pray, O God, open our eyes to see you in the glory of your holiness, that we may see that you alone are God, that you alone live and reign and rule. You are the Lord God omnipotent who reigneth. And O God, you are worthy of praise. Father, we submit to you today. We humble ourselves before you. Please pardon our guilt. Oh, Lord, forgive us for worshiping the work of our hands. Lord, purify our minds from all idolatry. Set our hearts ablaze with fresh love and confidence in you, O God. Father, we look to Christ and see that in the Lord Jesus, you have indeed blessed your church. You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, so that in Christ Jesus we are made holy and acceptable before you. In Christ Jesus we are satisfied. In Christ Jesus we are secure. Oh, dear Spirit, thank you for binding us to Christ. Thank you for conforming us to be a holy people for your own possession. We pray, please be with us. Please bless this time as we are in your word. Father, all this we ask in Jesus' name. Psalm 115 begins, as we've seen, with a call to praise, a call that God would receive the glory because he is the Holy One. He is the Lord God, our Redeemer. And the psalmist then leads us to ponder, and he puts before us the Gentiles, the unbelievers who question, where is the God of Israel? Where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And they question his power and existence. But the people of God are reminded that our God lives and that he reigns in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. He is sovereign. And then we saw last week how our God is not like the gods of the nations. Our God is not like the idols crafted by human imagination or power or might, but he is the one true and living God, and there is complete confidence that we have in him. And we stir our hearts by the truth that our Lord reigns and rules, to hope in him, to rest in him, to remember that he is our help and shield. But tonight, friends, what I want to set before you is this, that the people of God are to bless the Lord who remembers us, providing for us every need, and redeeming us unto eternal life in Christ. Friends, in verses 12 to 13, we see that the Lord will bless his people by causing his face to shine on his redeemed. Verse 12, the Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. Psalm 115, as is quite common in this part of the Psalter, there's quite a bit of repetition. And this is for emphasis. Just like we might repeat something again and again to drive it home, so too, God is, by his Spirit, leading his people to savor these truths. The Lord has remembered us. Dear friends, God has remembered his people. He has not forgotten. He has not lost his memory, but he remembers. Our God remembers every promise that he's made to us. He has remembered to be faithful and steadfast, good and sure. He is the Lord who never forgets. He is the God who always keeps his promises. The Lord has remembered us. Dear friends, we may forget, our children may forget, our grandchildren may forget, but our Lord always remembers. He is faithful. The Lord is steadfast in his love, and therefore, he will bless us. He will bless. Friends, the idea of blessing in the scriptures, you recall the Aaronic blessing out of Numbers chapter 6? Remember, God gave to Aaron this blessing. And as high priest, he was to speak this good word over the people of Israel. This good word, this benediction, was the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. It was the countenance of God as he shined upon his people, the warmth of his face, that intimate companionship and fellowship with the Lord. That is blessing. To be blessed by God is to be brought near to him, to know him, to love him, and to enjoy him. He will bless. Friends, the supreme blessing of God is life eternal. Eternal, lasting fellowship with him, and this comes in Jesus Christ. He will bless us, friends. The Lord has blessed us in Christ Jesus. The psalmist reminds us that he will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless the congregation of his people. He will bless even his clergy. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. Friends, our Lord is good to bless those who fear him. Now again, this idea of fear is of reverence and awe. It's the fundamental heart attitude of worship. Friends, when we are born again, God takes away a stubborn, stiff-necked heart and gives to us a heart to fear his name. A heart that reveres him as Lord and clings to him as our Savior. It is from this humble heart attitude of humility and reverence to God that we truly come to worship him. By faith in Christ, he will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. The Apostle Peter discovered this in the book of Acts as he was ministering, and there he was in Joppa, staying with one Simon the Tanner, and the Holy Spirit sent to him three men from Cornelius' house. And remember, the Spirit of God told Peter that he was to go with these men, that he was to not delay, but he was to deliver to them the gospel message. And Peter goes to the house of Cornelius, this Roman centurion with his Gentile family. And Peter there in Caesarea with Cornelius and his household begins to understand the mission of God, the purpose of God in redeeming a people for himself from every tribe, from every tongue, from every nation. And Peter says, I know it's true that God shows no partiality, but that he blesses, he welcomes, he saves those who revere his name. Guys, we understand that our God is a redeeming, holy Savior, and that he has trusted to us a gospel. Israel is set before the nations as a lighthouse, as a witness, so we as the church are a witness, a light to the nations. And we are to go forth from our own place, from here at Jenny Lind, among our families, among our friends and neighbors, even partnering and bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth. Because God is blessing those who fear him, both the small and the great. So, dear friends, the Lord God bless us. Remember again, how does God bless us? He blesses us in Christ. That is the fullness, the perfection of God's blessing, that we sinners may have our guilt removed, that we might be justified in his sight, that we might be brought near to him now to know him as our Father, our great Father in heaven. So, dear friends, remember, our God never forgets. He will bless his people, causing his face to shine upon us. Perhaps today you're in a dark place. Maybe doubt lies in your minds and uncertainty lodges in your heart. Take hold of these promises. Know that your Lord never forgets, that he will bless, he most certainly will do for us what he has promised in Christ Jesus. Hold to this word and rest in sovereign grace. Because as we know that the Lord will bless, we can trust that the Lord will provide for his people. Verse 14 to 15, may the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord will provide for his people, blessing them and their children. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. Friends, you know, I'm at this point thinking about our daughter that's to come. And certain promises are becoming more sweet to me. God in his word promises not only to bless his people, but also to care for their children. Now, this does not guarantee that he will save our children. This is not a blanket promise from God that he will indeed regenerate and save and call to himself the children of believers. That is his sovereign will. He may choose so if he desires, if he has purposed. But, friends, God is good to the offspring of his saints. He is so good to us and to our children. And this is what verse 14 is saying. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. Our God is so good, and we can entrust our children's well-being to him. We can entrust their physical and spiritual well-being to the Lord our God, who is so good and gracious to us. Dear friends, maybe tonight the Lord is calling you to indeed, once again, entrust your children, your grandchildren, your family to the Lord who promises to provide and promises to bless. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The people of God, the saints, believers, can trust that the Lord God who made heaven and earth is a God who blesses. Now again, the supreme blessing that God gives is himself in Jesus Christ, but the Lord also blesses by providing for our needs. It's the Lord our God who blesses us with strong bodies, sound minds, the strength and ability to labor and to enjoy the fruit of our labor. Dear friends, it's not only God who strengthens us for the day of work, but it's also the God who causes that work to be fruitful, profitable, successful, all to his glory. So when we see the good provision of God, when we see his blessing poured out upon us, What is our response? But to bless him, to give him praise, to worship him who made heaven and earth. Friends, we know where every blessing comes from. Remember, James tells us, every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow or variation to change. Every blessing we receive in this life, culminating in Jesus Christ, is an occasion to give glory and praise to our Creator and our Redeemer. So friends, when you feel your heart is cold, when we feel distant from God, when we feel unthankful to our God, let us remember how much he has blessed us. Because by these truths, our heart will be stirred to fresh joy and thanksgiving. Verse 16, the heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. Now, the psalmist is not saying that God has relinquished all claim to the earth. What he is saying is there's a distinction. The heavens are the Lord's heavens. That is, the Lord dwells in the utmost height. He rules over the angels in his heavenly dwelling place. He rules in this most holy of holies. But he has given a certain vice-regency to the children of man. Remember, friends, as we studied the book of Genesis, we discovered that Adam and Eve were as the king and queen of this lower world, the earth. Adam was named by God the sovereign of this earth. To him was given dominion over the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, the creeping things, and the beasts of the earth. All of this was given to him by God. God gave to humanity dominion. But with this right to rule in the fear of God came a stewardship, because ultimately the earth doesn't belong to men. It's not our absolute ownership, but it is a trust that is given to us by our Creator. And we are accountable to God for how we steward, how we wield this right to rule and govern upon the earth. Friends, it's interesting that in the Bible, when God punishes Israel and sends them into captivity, remember, he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah, and he said, for 70 years, the people of Israel would be in exile in Babylon. 70 years, and you recall what the rationale, what the reasoning was that the Lord God gave. So that the land could fulfill its Sabbaths. See, the land, God's saying, was filled with iniquity. It was filled with blood. It was filled with sin. And it needed 70 years of Sabbath, 70 years of rest. Friends, God is a righteous God. God has given stewardship and dominion to man, but God will hold us accountable for what we've done upon the earth. The earth he has given to the children of man. So friends, remember that as human beings, we do have a right to rule, but we are to rule in the fear of God. You know, in our own day, we like to think of the separation between church and state, right? We like to think in terms of, well, here is the church and here is the state. And indeed, friends, the Bible does speak of two different institutions. The state or the government is one institution, and the church is another institution. And the two are separate and distinct and are given certain responsibilities. For instance, friends, to the church is given the responsibility to bear witness to the invisible God, to make visible that which is invisible, to declare the truth of the gospel, to bear witness to Christ in the world. This work of evangelism and discipleship, this work of worshiping and glorifying God, is given to the church. But friends, the state, the civil magistrate, is also instituted by God. It is God who has given the sword to the government. And they, the government, have a responsibility to wield that sword, that authority, in the fear of God. So friends, church and state are distinct institutions, but they are both accountable to a holy God, to a sovereign Creator. And friends, God holds the church responsible for being the church, and God holds the government responsible for being the government. So friends, when we see in our own country or in the world around us, iniquity being perpetrated by governing officials, by the state, We are calling the state to be the state. We're saying you rule by God's own good pleasure. And you are accountable to God for the way in which you rule. And right now, as a civil magistrate, you are to uphold justice, righteousness, and faithfulness. You are to work to restrain people. And so we call upon the state to be the state. Because as we see in verse 16, the earth he has given to the children of man, there is a rightful rule in the fear of God. Verse 17, the dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. Now, friends, in the Old Testament, we see that the saints understand hell as a dark, shadowy place. The scriptures speak of Sheol. Remember Korah's rebellion, that ghastly scene where God opened the earth and swallowed Korah and Dathan and swallowed Abiram, swallowed them and their families alive and brought them down to Sheol? What a terrifying episode of God's holy justice and righteous recompense. So Sheol was seen as the dark place of shadows. It was the place of death and judgment away from the face of God. It was the place where the lights were turned out, where there was God in his holy wrath and not in his mercy or his grace. Dear friends, remember the Bible says that God is as much present in heaven as he is in hell. And that it is the very presence of God in heaven that makes heaven such a blessing. But it is the presence of God and his righteous recompense in hell which makes hell a terror. But the dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. Friends, when the grave closes upon him, his time on earth is finished. As the psalmist is saying here, the dead that die, estranged from God, they go down to the place of silence. And they don't praise the Lord. They don't worship him. They are forever estranged from him and under his righteous wrath. But verse 17 is as an antithesis or a contrast. Friends, the dead who die estranged from God, the dead who die in their trespasses and sins, go down to silence. They go down to hell. They go down to an ignoble end. But for the saints, there is life and blessing. Verse 18, but we will bless the Lord. Notice the confidence of the saint. The saint believes the word of God. The believer holds to the promises that God has made to him. Promises of life, promises of salvation, promises of the forgiveness of sins. These gospel promises that the Old Testament saints saw dimly. They saw the shadows in the sacrificial system. They had the promises of Christ proclaimed to them and signed and symbol, but they were looking forward to the day when God's promises of redemption would be fulfilled. They were looking forward by faith to Christ. But now we have seen that Christ has come, and we can say with confidence, yes, our Lord will bless us, because we have seen that his Messiah has come and lived and died and risen from the dead. Us. He has redeemed us through the cross. God will bless us. He has blessed us, and he will continue to uphold us by his grace from this time forth and forevermore. Friends, with confidence, we hold to the truth of God. We hold to Christ and say, our God is faithful to bless, to keep, to preserve from now to eternity. Friends, our hope is not a hope that is merely in this world or in this time or this season, but our hope is settled for eternity because we have a God who has promised to secure us to himself forever. He has promised us life. And what's the response? Praise the Lord. Friends, doctrine directs our devotion or our obedience, and it drives our doxology, it drives our worship. We cannot worship a God that we don't know. The more we know God, according to his word, the more we love him. And the more we know him, the more we love him, the more we serve and worship him. And dear friends, these psalms, Psalm 115 is given to us so that we as his people might be fueled by the truth to praise him. Friends, as a church, we want to be a people who are maximalist. We want to come to the Word of God and say, what is contained therein? What is the fullness of the truth of his word, of his gospel, that we might know him more and love him more and serve him more? Friends, we cannot be content with just the bare minimum. We can't be content with a mere inch of understanding. No, we need to know God more deeply that we might serve him more faithfully and worship him more fully. Praise the Lord. God's people praise him forever, for he has redeemed us from the curse of death unto life eternal in Christ. Friends, do you believe that? Do you believe that your Lord has redeemed you, that he's not forgotten you, that he will bless you this time forth and forevermore, that he's a God that you can entrust your children to, a God that you can rest in every moment, every day, from now to eternity, that if you ever feel worried or concerned or weighed down, you can come to his word and hear once again that your Creator is your Redeemer, and in Christ he has blessed you from this time forth. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We pray, Father, that you would open our eyes to see the fullness of your blessing in Christ. Lord Jesus, you have won for us this blessing, life eternal, by your personal, perfect, and perpetual obedience. Lord Jesus, you are obedient even to death upon the cross. You who knew no sin became sin for us, that in you, Lord Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Father, we are not worthy of the least of your mercies. Father, what we are deserving is wrath and judgment. Father, of your own sovereign grace, you have chosen to save. You have chosen to bless. So, Father, we humble ourselves before you again and pray, please bless your church. Enable, equip us, energize us now to go forth from this place to serve you in the work that you set before us, to serve you eagerly in our families, among our friends and neighbors here in our community, to go about your business of being and making disciples to the ends of the earth, because, Father, you are worthy of all praise. And we give it to you.